Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelo
and Sophie Kessler. Hello and welcome back to the Mind Mastery and Manifestation podcast. We are diving in on this episode all around self-sabotage. And if you're human in any way, then you may have experienced this at some point in your life or another, where perhaps you were going after something that you wanted, and whatever reason you were procrastinating, or you self-sabotaged, or you prevented yourself from actually having or obtaining or achieving whatever it is that you were really wanting to make happen for yourself consciously, but for whatever reason you weren't able to get it. So what we want to dive into on this episode is really understanding the mechanics and the science behind self-sabotage and how to prevent it, as well as how to alleviate it so that you can move past that in achieving, accomplishing, having, doing, being, whatever it is you want to.
Yeah, so let's take it right from the very beginning. And I'm going to assume that because you're listening to this podcast that you're fairly self-aware, but just in case, let's just all be really clear that when we're younger in life, or when we're less mature or less aware, it's easy to blame our results in life on other things, on other people, on other circumstances. We'll say that, oh, I didn't get the job because the guy interviewing me is a dick, or girl broke up with me because she's crazy, or my financial situation is because, oh, this market bubble burst or whatever, right? We can blame everything but ourselves. But as we get to be a little bit more aware of where our results come from, and hopefully you've listened to some other of our episodes, and it's really, really clear that all of the results that you get in your life actually stem from you. It's how you perceive yourself, how you think about yourself, how you think about everything in life, because that creates your expectations, your behaviors, your habits, your results, your communications. And so that means that if you're not getting something that you want in your life, that, sorry to say it, but you're the cause. How many times have you found yourself thinking that you're your worst enemy, or thinking like, oh, if I could just get out of my own way? I mean, this is something that I've struggled with. And you know what? I'm a human. I'm going to continue facing this for the rest of my life. But it was a really big thing for me, especially up until about 5 years ago, where it's like I would fight myself at every single turn. And we're going to go over all forms of self-sabotage. So one, you know what it looks like, you know what it feels like. So if it happens in your life, you can identify it. So you can raise the level of your awareness, because look, you need to be able to identify the real challenge that's creating the results that you're getting. Otherwise, you'll never be able to change them, right? So when you take control and ownership of it, you give yourself the power to do something. So by the end of this episode, we really want you to be able to see it clearly as it happens in your life. And we're going to give you some ideas of what they actually come from, the beliefs, the perceptions, what you can do about them. So you have a really good idea walking out of here of how to get out of your own way.
So let's dive in and really understand some of the mechanics, or more so the fundamentals, of where self-sabotage really stems from and are one of the root causes. So if you've been listening to our podcast for a while, you have probably heard us talk a lot about the conscious and the unconscious mind. And so when we're talking about you being consciously aware, right? Consciously you want something, consciously you know it's good for you, consciously it makes total sense, right? To go ahead and achieve that thing or do that thing. And it's just picture perfect to your conscious mind. Now, what's important when we get into the world of self-sabotage is to understand that there is also your unconscious mind. And typically when you start to self-sabotage, it's usually rooting from some part of your unconscious mind that has a belief that may be separate and are different from what your conscious mind believes. So an example of this, for instance, if you grew up in a home where perhaps you had the family history where they perceived people who had a lot of money as being greedy and are people who didn't really care or that were selfish, or that you had the belief system that, money would take away from you being able to spend time with your family because perhaps your dad was always working. So you created this internal belief at some point in your life that money was correlated to being something wrong or bad or negative, or it would cause pain. Now, although that may not make sense to you consciously, right? Because you want to be successful, you want to make a ton of money, you want to be able to have the life and the fulfillment and the abundance, at an unconscious level, that little boy or that little girl inside of you has this belief or this perception of what money is. And so when you go after trying to achieve or have success at a certain level and reach this place of financial abundance, but there's this deeper rooted part of you that has this unconscious belief that money is this terrible thing that's going to cause so much pain, that unconscious part of you will do everything in its power to stop you or to prevent you from reaching that level of success, because it's equating that level of success to you actually experiencing so much more pain. So we can start to see how it's a lot more than just getting yourself to do the thing, especially if you're experiencing procrastination or to where you're finding all these excuses or reasonings or fears for going out and doing the thing, where we can start to explore what are some of the deep-rooted inner beliefs or inner child beliefs for why you would be afraid of actually doing that. And so I know that, Dan, you're talking a lot about the belief systems and some of the big ones that come up for people.
Yeah. So we'll get into the nitty-gritty in just a second, but you brought up this really awesome idea of having your unconscious mind try to keep you safe, right? And try to keep you inside of a comfort zone. And we have all sorts of different comfort zones, but here's one thing that I want to throw out for you, because it was really weird the first time I heard about it. And like I said, we'll get to the beliefs that create this comfort zone in a moment. A lot of people think of a comfort zone as a place where we stay inside because everything else seems dangerous. So it seems negative. But you also have a comfort zone for success and happiness. And that's where it gets a little weird, because you might want to say, well, why would I have a comfort zone for success and happiness? Meaning that I have a range of comfort. Like, I can feel comfortable being this amount of happy or this amount of success, and anything out of that seems dangerous. How could that possibly be? Because success and happiness are good things. So why wouldn't we easily want more and accept even more? But the problem is that your unconscious mind has no concept of that. It doesn't know what you want, and it doesn't care. All it knows is that whatever you've been doing is probably the best thing for you because you're still alive. If you're still alive, that must mean that whatever you've been doing works. So you should keep doing what you've always been doing. And new things, whatever it is that's new, seems like it could be dangerous. Your unconscious mind doesn't know what's on the other side of that. And so it thinks naturally like, hey, why, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of thing. And so it won't let you. And so you do have what's called an upper limit for how happy and successful you can be before your unconscious mind starts freaking out. Right. And like Sophie said, like, hey, you can't become wealthy if your unconscious mind thinks that something negative, something painful is going to happen if you become wealthy. But if you don't know what's on the other end of it, at least if your unconscious mind doesn't know what's on the other end of it because you haven't been there, it can naturally go to the negative anyway. So it can think like, hey, you know, you're good where you're at, but hey, if you suddenly win the lottery tomorrow, you suddenly make $1 million, we don't know what your life is going to be like, and we can't let you risk it. So it'll make you avoid doing things that will make you super successful. Or what will happen is that people who are already living good lives, they're already fairly comfortable in their businesses, they have great relationships, good health and everything, something else really positive will happen. They'll have a big windfall in their businesses, and all of a sudden their minds will freak out. They're outside of their comfort zones. They don't know where they are anymore. It's out of the realm that they've ever been in. And so then their unconscious minds think, well, we got to get back into our safe place. We got to do something to turn this down a little bit. And so these people who had great lives and big windfalls all of a sudden start fighting with their spouses, or they start blaming people at work for things other than themselves, right? They give off responsibility, or they party so hard that they can't show up to work, or they start spending money recklessly or anything. Some of them might even get very sick so that they can bring themselves back down within the comfortable range of happiness and success. And that's really important to know, that you can have a great life and you can still be limited by this comfort zone concept. And your mind will resist change. It hates it, good or bad change. It hates it both. It doesn't know the difference. It's all mystery. And so there are walls of this comfort zone that are created with beliefs. And so let's get into it now so that you can feel. What I want you to do is, as we talk about these, you may have an instinctive resistance, right? Especially if you're used to being successful, especially if you're used to being happy, especially if you're used to feeling more confident than most of the other people that you're around, right? Or maybe you're the most confident person that you're around. And so it might be easy for you to say, no, not me, no, not me, no, not me, to all these things. Because again, that might be your unconscious mind saying, no, no, no. It's more comfortable to think that you don't have problems. It's more comfortable to think that you can't be limited by anything, that you've accomplished everything, that you're in a great way, and that you can't possibly be sabotaging yourself because you have all these good things, right? By the way, that reaction, that response, that is self-sabotage also. The inability to accept or see that there might be something in you that could be improved or healed or worked on, or there might be something in you that you don't want to look at, that is self-sabotage in and of itself. So open yourself up to it. We're going to get into these beliefs and just sort of relax with the information and just feel which might resonate with you.
So one of the biggest ones that comes up for a lot of people at one point or another is this unconscious belief that we're not enough, or that it's not good enough in some sense. And that's not to say that every part of you believes that. And we won't go too deep into different parts right now, but to understand that in some way, some part of you has this unconscious belief that what it does or who it is or how it performs or what it creates just is not enough, and that it is just fundamentally flawed. And in that, it will sabotage you from being able to take specific actions because it doesn't believe that anything it does is going to be enough.
Yeah, this gets into a perfectionist pattern, right? Need to be perfect. Like you said, Sophie, this will shut your ass down because your mind thinks, why even try? We're not going to get it right. So why bother even thinking about it? And so when we have this, you can get all sorts of symptoms out of it. One, you can have the constant review of past conversations or past actions to try to think about what you could have done better, right? Or said better. Or review them almost like punishing yourself, just showing yourself how imperfect you are and just reinforcing. Because remember, the unconscious mind hates being wrong, so it'll find proof that your beliefs are right. So if you believe that nothing you can do will ever be good enough, or you'll never be successful enough, or here's another, it can be even more insidious than this. Maybe you don't even feel like it's not good enough. Maybe what you feel is you constantly need to be even better. Not saying want, not saying enjoy growth. I'm saying need to be even better all the time. Constantly thirsting for it, starving for it. I am a recovering person with this sort of feeling of saying like, oh, you know, yeah, I'm totally okay the way I am. But the overarching like theme in my life was like, I have to move as fast as possible. I have to accomplish even more, no matter how much I accomplish. I need to earn even more, even though I just had the biggest month of my entire life. Always more. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. I'm enough. My life's not enough. I need to have even more. This all comes from the same pattern. And that energy can shoot you right in the face, because when you're doing that, you can't possibly be living fully. And you may sacrifice a lot of your life for the sake of this progress that has now taken over you. Or you might completely shut down in the face of not really deciding ahead of time that no matter how much you try, that you're never going to hit that goal. And in there, you can have constant self-doubt. You can have lack of focus because your mind won't let you focus on the things that you're trying to get done because it thinks that you're going to fail no matter what. You can sabotage your relationships. I would have that. Oh my God. There's so many times when I was younger that I would start dating some gorgeous, beautiful, talented woman and I would start a fight with her. I didn't even know I was doing this. I thought it was her. I thought that, you know, oh, she was doing something and then I had a reason to reject her. I had a reason to, you know, cut the relationship off. And then looking at it backwards, I realized, oh shit, yeah, I created that. My mind told me I wasn't good enough for her. So I felt like I needed a way out. But of course, I wasn't conscious. So I just saw, oh, she's not hot enough, or, oh, I hate that habit, or whatever, right? This thing that she would do would just annoy the shit out of me out of nowhere. And I'd find a reason to get out of it so then I could be safe again, right? Because, hey, if I'm not good enough, then I'm going to get rejected. But if I reject her first, well, then I'll never have to come face to face with me not being good enough. I'll make her not good enough. You're starting to see how this pattern can create sabotage all over the place. If you're a coach, not good enough could potentially ruin your entire business. It could keep you playing really small because you won't go after the clients that you really deserve. It won't allow you to raise your rates because you don't think that you're giving enough value. This can get into people pleasing so that you raise your value in the light of other people by trying to suck up to them or just tell them what they want to hear, because whatever you are naturally won't be good enough. This extends to so many things that, in my opinion, this pattern is like the biggest offender of the four that we're going to go over. So be very careful and think about it in your life where this may have popped up in one way or another without you even realizing it.
Ah, so good. I love what you brought up too. And I can so relate. What I call it, and those of you who may have followed me on social media, this achievement addiction. This addiction to needing to achieve, needing to do, needing to consistently be doing something more than what you are. And a great way to really be able to identify this is if you're unable to enjoy the process, if you're unable to enjoy the experience, regardless of where you currently are. So paying attention to just little things and looking at, okay, can I actually enjoy where I am right now, knowing that I can be even better and that I can continue to grow and improve, not to say that I'm not enough already. So I love that you brought that up, Dan. Beautiful point. So the next one that we're diving into is understanding this concept of my success will bring shame to my friends or family. It's kind of like this inherent fear. And I can totally resonate with this one. For a long time, I had a fear that if I were successful, it would cause pain to my brother, which was a self-sabotaging belief because I felt like, well, if I'm successful and he's not, he's going to feel worse about himself. And so I love my brother so much and I value love more than I value success that I'm going to keep myself in that state of comfort, right? The success was just enough to be comfortable, but not too much to cause any pain to the people that I love most in my life. And so as we start to look at how this plays out in your life, right, there's multiple ways that success and the meaning that you attach to it and how it actually impacts and affects the other people in your life, especially the people that you love most.
So this extends to a couple different ways. So I have a lot of clients who are gay, and there often is a block of sessions where we'll work together on helping them fully accept and embrace their sexuality, because there's everything beautiful about your sexuality, no matter what you are, right? And hey, love is amazing no matter what it is, you know, as long as you cause no suffering, like, go for it. But when they're growing up, they have this idea of like, no, I can't really let myself enjoy my sexuality because if my dad finds out that I'm gay, he'll be ashamed of me. And that is like this, you know, happiness, success will bring shame to my family. Or if I don't follow in my parents' footsteps, if I don't take on the family business, then I'm going to bring shame to my family. This is much more prevalent, obviously, in honor-based cultures. If you go out into the Far East, you're going to find this way more powerfully than you'll see it in America, for example. However, it still exists here, where it's like, I can't really live my life fully. I can't fully be me and go after what I want because something about what I want is going to embarrass the people I care about, or it'll bring a negative light onto them and they're going to be really uncomfortable with this and they're going to possibly reject me as a result. It can get a little weirder than that too, that I have spoken to inner city kids I went out to Chicago last September and I was speaking with a bunch of inner city kids there. And it was really interesting to speak with them because a lot of them were saying things like, hey, they have big dreams and they want to become doctors and scientists and they want to become lawyers and, you know, they want to go to college, but nobody in their family has gone to college. No one in their family has left Chicago. They can't even talk about their dreams and about their success or happiness because by doing that, they will embarrass and shame their families because they feel like their kids are trying to be more than them, better than them. They're trying to reject who they are. They're trying to reject their backgrounds, their family ties. And that is shameful. It's like, you know, having a traitor as a child. They just don't say anything. They don't say anything about what they really want. And they hide their shine and they hide their goals and their dreams because they're afraid of bringing shame to those they care about. So if you feel anything like this, and this can be about any part of your life, right? About who you are, what you look like, what you want to dress like, where you want to live, what you want to do, who you want to do it with, who you want to be. Remember, that's just a belief. And even deeper, it's a belief that you have about someone else's belief. And so that's like layers of sabotage that are waiting there to spring on you, and that will shut you down. So the next one is the belief that my success or my happiness will bring burden to those I care about. And this is a kind of a tricky one because it's really about me getting what I want will put pressure on someone else. For example, if I become a celebrity, then my family and friends are going to be followed around by paparazzi and it's going to make their lives difficult. Or a wife may think that if she becomes really successful, then she might have to travel more or work more. And that's going to put more pressure on her husband to take care of the kids and do things around the house. And that's not going to be comfortable for him. Or if we're working as a team, but we all have our own personal goals as well and our own personal businesses. You know, if I become super successful, then I'm not going to be able to work on the team. And so I'm going to leave them behind and they're going to have to deal with it without me. It's a lot more work for them. So when we look at this belief, it can come up and be really stealthy because it can disguise itself as being very pragmatic. And this is where the insidious side of this self-sabotage, wow, that's some serious alliteration in there. Like in this part will really bite you in the ass because you think, no, I'm not sabotaging myself. I'm thinking very logically. I'm thinking very reasonably. I love my husband. I wouldn't want him to have to work even more. You know, he's got a job and we have two kids. And if I start traveling or having to work more, it's going to be a lot of pressure on him. This is a very reasonable and logical thing to think, but you also have absolutely no idea what the hell you're talking about. And that's just honest. Because first of all, you might be underestimating your husband. You don't know. If you've never been in this situation, you just don't know. And also, who knows, right? You might not have to travel as much as you think. You might not have to work as much as you think, or you might find workarounds. But this, you know, I'm being super logical, so I'm going to see the future and I'm going to avoid playing as big as I can be. I'm going to avoid being as happy or successful as I know I should be. That's just sabotage, right? You're shutting yourself down before you really know, before you give yourself a chance, and it can sneak in. And it's very easy. Remember that the unconscious mind will, air quotes, help you by making you come up with all sorts of reasons and excuses that sound perfectly reasonable, perfectly logical. And you might be able to see every single step along the way and think like, hey, I'm just being safe. I'm just being responsible. But in reality, you're sabotaging yourself.
And a lot of the times too, especially for those of you that are entrepreneurs or business owners, or even in your own career path, you can see this in the sense to where you get to a certain level of comfort in your business or in your career, or perhaps even inside of your own health and your fitness. And you recognize that, getting to that next level, right? Whatever the story or the meaning or the definition may be that you attach to it is going to, you know, cause this or cause that to whomever it is, the people that you care about. And as you start to pay attention to those, the encouragement that we love to give you is to look at what the other possibilities are for what achieving and are doing and are having that could actually do for you. So instead of looking at, which again, your unconscious mind will naturally go to keep you safe, what could go wrong and how bad and or painful it could be, to start to explore the possibilities of how great it could be and how it could actually work out in the benefit of not just yourself, but your clients, the people you care about, the people you love, in the bigger picture, really for the entire world.
And so there's one more belief that we want to talk about here that can create the boundaries of your happiness and success comfort zone. It can set your upper limit. And it's my success or my happiness will make someone I care about look bad. And it's kind of like what Sophie, what you said earlier about like, hey, if I'm super successful and my brother is not, then I'm going to make him look bad. Or a lot of men especially have a block on earning more than their fathers do, you know, because they don't want to make them look bad. So they kind of cap themselves. Or partners in any kind of pursuit. You know, if you're building a company together or whatever you're doing, say you have one or two more partners and you have the potential of becoming super successful on your own, you might not want to do it because, hey, you know, you could make your teammates look bad or look worse. So here, there really is the thought of trying to avoid conflict, even if you don't know if it'll happen, or trying to avoid making other people feel bad about something that isn't even your fault and might not even be real. Just because you become even more successful does not mean that someone else looks worse, does not mean that they become less successful because of you. But this belief, this avoidance of perceived negativity will make you stop. It'll make you play only as big as they play. And so there you get limited by the people that you spend time with most or the people you care about most, instead of being supported. And it's not about them. Remember, it's not about whether they support you. They can tell you anything they want, but if you've got this belief in you, you won't care, right? Because you'll say, hey, I know that you want me to be as successful as possible, but I don't want you to feel bad. I don't want you to be hurt. I don't want you to feel belittled. And I don't want to feel like I'm better than you. That'll come up as well too. The whole idea of like, hey, if I become really successful, they may think that I think I'm better than them. And that's really just part of the same belief. If I become more successful or happy, then I'm going to make someone else look bad, or I'm going to show them for what they really are. This also taps in a little bit to the inner city kid not wanting to become successful, not wanting to be the first person to go to college in their families, because their families might think, hey, what do you think you're better than us? Well, you think you're amazing now? What are we, stupid? You think you're all hot shit because you can go to college? It all comes from the same sort of belief. And it's easier to just not even try.
Huge. And really, one of the quickest ways to start to work around this is similar to surrounding yourself with the people who you're looking at their level of success and really creating your upper limit based off of that, is to really start to surround yourself with people whose upper limit is much, much higher than yours, so that you start to set a new bar and a new parallel for what you can actually achieve and do. And so the last thing that we want to dive into on this episode, and we've talked about it in a lot of depth in previous episodes, is this concept of secondary gain. And secondary gain tends to be one of the deep-rooted causes for self-sabotage or procrastination, or for staying where you are, even though you know that you could be doing something better, or that you want to be doing something better, or that you don't want to be where you are. And to briefly recap, what secondary gain is when you are benefiting in some way, even though it may make absolutely no sense at all, from maintaining a current behavior and or a current state of being, even though logically, again, it may not make any sense. And so an example of this, again, oftentimes for a lot of weight loss clients, they will come in and they'll say, you know, I want to lose the weight. I want to get healthier. And so they go and they try to lose the weight. They get on the nutrition plan. They get on the workout plan. They hire the nutritionist or the personal trainer. And then halfway through the program, they self-sabotage, or they start coming up with all these excuses, all of these stories. And they can't seem to consciously make sense of why they can't get themselves motivated enough to go and actually follow through. Well, when we start to dig a little bit deeper, what oftentimes we end up finding is that these clients will have this deep-rooted fear that, well, if I lose the weight, then I won't have anything to hide behind anymore. And if I get rejected, or if somebody doesn't want to be with me, or somebody doesn't like me, it has nothing to do with the weight anymore, and it has to do with me. And it's this deep-rooted fear of them being rejected. And so as much as it makes no sense to the conscious logical mind, to the unconscious mind, it's benefiting in the sense that it's protecting itself by staying overweight and by having that extra mass so that it doesn't have to deal with a fear of it being rejected or it not being lovable for who they actually are. So again, this can show up in multiple different ways in your own life. Well, perhaps you may be benefiting from a behavior that you don't necessarily see as good for you from a logical perspective, though in some way you can't get yourself to either shift, change, or alleviate that behavior.
So today's task is going to be starting to carefully review your life, your actions, your results for self-sabotage. And I'm going to tell you what to look for. Look for a repeated pattern of behavior that gets you a result that doesn't link up with your goals. So for example, one of my friends seems to get sick right before a big event that could potentially be very good for her career, or a launch that could potentially be huge, or you know, anything that could potentially be a big windfall for her. And you may think, oh, well, you know, getting sick, that's just coming from stress, right? Big stress events could get you sick. Sure, but why is the stress showing up every time, right? Maybe it's because of sabotage. Maybe the stress shows up because of one of these beliefs. Oh, I'm not going to make it, or you know, I'm not going to do this successfully. This is going to go wrong. And so the body starts freaking out so that, hey, if you're sick, maybe you just won't even try it. Maybe you won't even do it. You won't go up on that stage. You'll delay the launch. And so that could be sabotage. By the way, there it is, secondary gain. Don't want to get rid of this response because, hey, if I keep on delaying this launch, I'll never have to deal with the failure of it, right? I'll never have to deal with that pain. So I'll just put it off, right? Or look at, you know, in relationships where, you know, at a certain point of relationships, do you start getting bored out of nowhere every time, or start getting annoyed by your partner every time, start picking fights, start finding reasons to distance yourself? This is all sabotage. Or do you have really big months and then all of a sudden, you know, you blow off, or you start partying really hard, or you start spending money recklessly so that you have a really rough month coming up, nothing in the pipeline, or you get into like a feast and famine kind of pattern where, you know, you're resting on your laurels, then you're freaking out, then, you know, celebrating, partying in the sun, then you're losing your shit, working as hard as you can to make up for the money that you don't think you might have. These are all different symptoms of sabotage. So I'd like you to start looking through and see where could you maybe be sabotaging yourself. And after you identify them, see if you can dig even further and find out which one of the four beliefs is at cause of all this. Sometimes just having an awareness of really what's happening, really what you're doing, is enough for you to change the pattern. So be very careful and remember that self-sabotage is a slippery fish. You're gonna have to really be careful and open-minded because your unconscious mind isn't going to want you to find this. It wants you to be safe. It doesn't want you to change these patterns. It wants you to stay in your comfort zone, playing small, playing safe. That way you can just make it through another day. But I know you want to thrive, and comfort zone is bullshit. So start taking a real hard look. And if you want help, if you want to let us know what you found, reach out to us. We'd love to get your feedback. Oh, and also thinking about feedback. If you enjoy what you're hearing, if you've gotten some great value out of this podcast, please share it with other people that you work with, that you care about. Leave us a review online so that we can see your real thoughts, your feelings on how this is going. And let us know if you want to hear about something specific so we can hook you up with some awesome strategies.
Awesome. And on that note, guys, we will see you on the next episode.